it's good to be here this evening. And last night, you know, we've been going, I think we were here a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has been good to us. I think we've been blessed. We've lost a lot of our help, train help, you know. A man that we had for 6 years, one and trained, and another man been with us 10 years and trained, you know, and then the Lord moved them out. One got married, and that didn't help things. I mean, but excuse me, ladies, what could we do without you, ladies? I better not say anything, anything else. But it's a real joy, honestly, to be here. I got so excited last night, and I'm sorry Miss Silas couldn't come, but. She really, really been going. We've been by ourselves. And Nathaniel, our second boy in the family, he's 27 years old, gonna be 28. And, he's coming in any minute. I thought he would come in early, but I guess he couldn't make it. He called me last night at 11 o'clock. He stopped at Mobile, Alabama, bringing his sister and so on. Someone's from Mobile. Okay. Well, if I keep on talking, you know, I'll say something. But anyway, our boys come to work with us, and thank the Lord for that. He's been four years in the Special Forces, and he's never give us a bit of trouble. Loves the Lord. His pastor wrote me a good letter about him up in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He said he's always there at visitation. Him and his wife always there in all the services, helping out. So I'm glad that our boy could come. It's a real joy to have him come and be with us. And I'm looking forward to his coming. We need his help. Honestly, man, I didn't go to bed till 2 o'clock this morning. I think in the last year, I don't know if I ever go to bed any earlier than 1 o'clock in the morning. And so, but we got so excited meditating on what the Lord has done. And I want to share with you what the Lord has done in this past year. And I got so excited I couldn't go to sleep, you know. And I was very tired. But you know, whenever you, it's good to go back, folk, and count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. Amen. Not what we have done, but what the Lord has done. And it's a real privilege just to, you know, be used of Him in any way that He can use us. And I'm amazed, you know, all these years, and the Lord's been good, and so. This past year has been real rough years as far as help is concerned, training new help and all of that. But I'm glad this two men, they're out in English-speaking churches, move out of the city, and they start Spanish departments right there. So thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
We'll be having a conference, the Lord willing, and we invite you to come the 26th and 27th, 28th of this month. That's right after Christmas. And Dr. Bob Sin said, he would be with us and a lot of the men, and I hope Brother Ken K can come and preach. So we're going to have services all day long. But 14, I invited 14 of the men that we have influenced, had a part, and started works in the state of Texas. 14 of those men that we won, some we baptized, some that, you know, we had a part in helping them. And so we thank the Lord. You know, 30 years ago, we were not free. You know, we were Southern Baptists. We didn't know anything else but that. And so, not that I'm just saying anything, but 24 years ago, the Lord led us to here. So in 24 years, then we have 13 works, you know, all over in the state of Texas.
Amen.
So that we influenced and had a part, and some that we still helping right now, instructing them. And so it's a thrill. I mean, to serve the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, it's not monotonous. Every week I have one bus is flat in the front, and so that's exciting. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I hope Nathaniel gets in right away. And so you know, it's a thrill. I don't care if it rains or it storms, if it's cold or it's hot, it's a thrill. And it's a real joy to serve the Lord Jesus. I like that old song that Dr. Oswald Smith, you know, from Canada, he wrote it, and I don't know how it goes in English, but in Spanish, it's a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to serve Jesus. I find real joy. I like a lot of other things, sports, but it seems like I don't have any time for them. And so I thank the Lord for you people, especially that pray for us this year. And you had a part in our ministry here in reaching our own people. for me, it's real thrilling, and there's so much to do. And I honestly don't see how in the world I don't have time to get discouraged. I mean, when there's so much to do. And so I honestly don't have time to get discouraged. I don't care what comes and what goes. And I want you to pray for us. I think we're living in a tremendous time.
Amen. You know?
This is God is raising. Hey, by the way, and it doesn't take a big old church to do a lot for the Lord. Lord doesn't like a big crowd. I mean, you'll be amazed, you know. I remember when the third anniversary in our work, I didn't even have a car. I didn't even have a building. I didn't have a radio broadcast. I didn't have anything that we have now.
Amen.
And man, our 22 people went out knocking on doors just down the street, just like fanatics, you know, and we drew 300 people under an old tent that rained the night before. I mean, it poured down. I mean, just pour all night. And there was 300 people there. And I don't know. And so, and the kingdom, I hear the word of God. And so every Sunday we have people. Last Sunday we had this lady, this young woman that was a accomplice to this murder with this man that is on $350,000 bail bond, the bail amount of $350,000. And then she's on over $150,000, and she was there, and her mother and daddy, and they got gloriously saved.
Amen.
And so that was all about, folks. I mean, and so we stay at the job all the time, and so we thank the Lord for please pray for us. And I want to say this before we go to the message. I'm not going to give you a lot of numbers and things we could, but about how many Bibles distributed in tracts this year, you know, thousands of them and all that. But let me say this. We couldn't do it with people like you, honestly. I mean, we couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so I thank God that this year, my goodness, we've had over how many New Testaments provided for us? Over 4,000 New Testaments in there. And they're all gone practically now. And we don't distribute them from door to door. Here's the New Testament. I mean, no. Those are for the people that come to the services.
Amen.
You know? I mean, and we have over 1,500 Bibles, you know, and so they were provided by good people like you, and my one small church, only 120, they provided us over 3,000 New Testaments.
Amen.
Know? And so I thank God. I'm the product of missions. My daddy, my old dad, I mean, he couldn't be here. I let him know too late. I have so much to do, and I just didn't let him know. He said, "Son, I just got through cutting my grass in the back and all those leaves, you know, he just visited with me. He's only 87 years young, you know. He'd be 88 in February. He visited with me till 5 minutes to 11 o'clock, Brother Taylor, at night. You know, he was out knocking on doors with me at 5 minutes to 11 at night. And so I wish you'd have been here. Someone gave him the gospel. An English speaking church got burdened many years ago in a small town here in Lockhart where he lived for the Spanish speaking, and they gave him the gospel. And I thank God that Brother Paul Sieverman, at the end of the 30s, when he couldn't go to Argentina because World War II was just, you know, just starting, and the government would let him go out of the country, and he prayed, and God directed him down to Texas. He was from the state of Illinois, and my. And so, you know, it's wonderful. And when I stood at this casket, I, with many of his spiritual children, I was saved under his ministry. And he was my missionary pastor. And so I said, I'm the product of missions. I'm the product of missionary giving, you know, and I'm the product of missionary work of Paul Sieverman. And no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself.
Right.
And so I thank God, you know, that I'm the product of missions. Now, my children are I'm the second generation. My children are the third generation. Now, you folk of Anglo-Saxon extraction, you've been blessed like you never imagined. You've had this blessed book.
Amen.
Yeah, for generations.
Amen.
You've sung the songs of Zion for generations. You know, I was in a meeting, Brother Willie, up here with Brother Bubba Key, you know. He's going to be with us, Lord willing. But I was in his home, the fellowship meeting. And I just thank God, you know, that Brother, one of our missionaries that we have in Florida. Now we own not only 13 works here in Texas, but we have two works in Florida. This Cuban brother served 5 years in prison for preaching the gospel under Castro, and he was there, and boy, they were having a tremendous time. You know how Brother Willie, how they shout and have a good time, And he turned to me and he said, man, he was big old tear running down, and he's a man 48, 49 years old. And he's our missionary down there, and we're helping him down there. We'll be with him, Lord willing, next month in January. And so he said, isn't this marvelous? Man, the fellowship and the people were just enjoying, you know, being in the service right there. And the Lord was present, and people were shouting and rejoicing of people being saved. And he said, man, Brother Cedars, we want this for our people, don't we?
Amen.
And we do.
Amen.
If anything I want, I don't have anything, God knows, I don't have anything. I don't have a thing. I don't have any money, any savings. I don't have anything. I don't have any sporting equipment. I don't have anything. I've given to the Lord 30 years of my life, 30 years, hand, feet, and all. I mean, my wife and I, and we thank God that for the privilege of being used to give the gospel to many, many of our people. But the work is still virgin. I mean, oh my. Over 20 million right now, Spanish speaking. 20 million? There's really 17 million people of Spanish descent in the United States, and 8 million illegal aliens right now. They just came out 2 months ago. I mean, those are the latest statistics in the United States. 98% of them, of the nearly 25 million in the United States, they have never owned a copy of the Word of God. 98% of them. 98% of them, of the over 3 million in the state of Texas, have never owned a copy of the Word of God. 98% of the people here in this great city of ours, in the Bexar County, we have 750,000 Spanish speaking. And you talk about me wanting material things. My. There's a church in Florida that wants me to support us. They've been wanting me to go to Florida for vacation. You know, my wife and I haven't gone there. They'll give me the money. You know, and so I have a burden, and the burden of my people. And when I see you, dear people here, and among your churches, and I see how God has blessed you, and of course, Brother Sanchez and I, we cried, and of course, we won what you people have had. My, Jesus is the answer. The Amen. Gospel is the answer.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir. I mean, I was testifying there in a fellowship meeting there in Louisiana, and lo and behold, oh Brother Trejo, brother, I mean, and he was saved under us. I mean, 10 years ago, he's going to Mexico as a missionary, one of our own converts, and he interrupted me, and he said, Brother Silos, I got to interrupt you. And over there, they can interrupt. I mean, you know, that kind of service. I mean, anyone can interrupt anyone. And so, they have no, you folks are real refined here. I mean, over there, man. I mean, you think you're formal around here, man. Those people over there, they know no formality. Brother Willie knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, Brother Roy interrupted. He said, Brother Silos, I said, folks, said I want to interrupt Brother Silas. I'm going to tell you, this man preached the whole counsel of God. Man, 10 years ago when I came to his church, I've been drunk till 4 o'clock in the morning. Been drinking when I came to his services, and he got up and preached John 3:16. I didn't know who was there. Like the Lord willing, tomorrow. I mean, day after tomorrow, I don't know who's going to be there. But I know we work, we shake the bushes, we knock on doors, like we did last night till 5 minutes to 11 o'clock at night. You know. And boy, we just expect God to do something. That's all.
Amen.
And so he said, man, I had 6 women, and when I came, God saved you. I had 6 women, and I've been drunk, and I weigh 90 pounds. He said, I look like a 2x4. You don't know if you were looking at me from sideways or from the front. He said, when the Lord saved me, and now, man, Lord's really blessed him. Now he's don't look like a 2x4, and he got the joy of the Lord now. And I tell you, God is blessed. Isn't it wonderful that the gospel? I mean, it's the answer, the gospel.
Amen.
Yes, the good news that Jesus saves. And I got, my, I wish my daddy, I wanted to bring my dad, and I forgot. I just plain forgot to ask him to come. I wanted to see him. Yeah, 54 years ago, he was the first 26, he was 34 years old.
Amen.
Yeah, he was 34 years old when he first handled a copy of the Word of God. My, I cannot get over that. Now, I cannot get over that. I can get over that. And so glad that, one of his sisters took 28 years just praying for her, witnessing to her. Yeah? Our people have rotten religion. They have false religion. The whole world has that.
That's right.
Lord, they need the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
They need Jesus. And folks, that's what we're here for. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're here for. And so that's why the Lord leaves us here. And I don't know why Eternus is coming, but I know one thing. Don't worry about Lord. I mean, I get abused, you know, Brother Willie. I mean, everybody, some say there's signs, some say there's no signs. I don't get with signs or no signs. Let's get busy, man. Quit arguing about the signs and no signs. And some folks, man, they see everything. They think that the Lord's going to come. Well, he might. He might be here tonight, amen, or tomorrow. But I'm so glad that we have a job to do, man. We need to do it,
amen.
And that's why this mission conference here. And thank God for you people, and that pray and give and go. And thank you for praying for us. Uphold us in prayer more than anything else. We need. I mean, we're not getting younger. And we're 52 years old, and my, and I don't feel younger. But I'll tell you one thing. I brought my little boy Nathaniel from school, and I sat down, and his mother said, "Where's your father?" I said, "Well, he's listening to one of the preachers on the radio." Well, I was, but I didn't wake up till 50 minutes later. Man, that time, I was in the seat. She thought I was listening to the radio. But folks, honestly, pray for us. We need your prayers, and we thank God for your prayers, and we thank God for the part you've had in our ministry here. Will you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 and stand with me to read the Word of God? I'll apologize for one thing. Now, last night, Brother Taylor was, the night before last, he was with us, with Brother Weaver, and I have no problem in the Spanish, you know. I have no problem. And I, of course, preach in Spanish all the time, so you're gonna have to put up with me this evening, you know. Stammering, my stuttering, you know, and trying to, and preaching it in English, you know, like I want to. Now I know, not in Spanish. You come Sunday morning, now you'll hear me, okay? I don't have to taxi around, you know, and take off, man. I don't. I do in English. I have to warm up a while. And so anyway, you pray for me. So, all right. Romans chapter 10. Start with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that the God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then I'll turn one more verse in the Bible, and we'll keep your finger there. We'll come back to this here. Let's turn to John chapter 12, please, and verse 24. Really glad to have Brother Taylor the other night and Brother Weaver, missionary to Indonesia. My, they were blessed. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Now, Lord, it's good to be here with this group of believers here. We thank you for Brother Kincaid, Lord, your servant here. We know he loves you with all his heart. He's been a blessing to us and an inspiration. We thank you, Lord, for this dear people that have prayed for us this past year and share of their money so that we could, Lord, keep on preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God to our people. Now we pray that this evening, Lord, as we think together, and as we speak, that Lord, that you'll warm the hearts of your children.
Amen.
Oh God, help us, we pray. Help us to be compassionate for a world that is lost. Lord, without hope and without Christ. And so again, anew and afresh, we ask you, Lord, to anoint us. And Lord, as we speak, Lord, may you do the speaking. And Lord, and may we do the hearing. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. Excuse me. Now, you know, the work of the Lord is very simple. I mean, you know, it's nothing hard and complicated. Now, sometimes we make things very complicated, but I'm so glad that we have this blessed book right here.
Amen.
That we can refer to, and we can get instructions as to how to do the work of the Lord and the work of God. And so, I want you to point out three things this evening with you, because there's two of them after me, you know, two preaching after me. All right, fine. And so, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I tell you, I'm getting old, you know. I don't even mention, and I thought they were going to sing, okay. Now, first thing that I want you to know, that God has one plan of salvation.
Amen.
Not two, not three, not four, not five. Just one plan of salvation. You know, isn't it wonderful that plan has never changed?
Amen.
I mean, God saved people right now in 1978, like he saved them back in Paul's time, like he saved them way back in the Old Testament. I mean, they're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I mean, and I'm glad, you know, that the plan of salvation is so simple. And I think we need to learn the plan of salvation. I mean, learn it. Learn it well. Amen?
Amen?
And I think every believer, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you know, what you don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if you have a lot of schooling or not. I don't care who you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're culture or uncouth. It doesn't make any difference. You need to learn the plan.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you know that plan, and you need to know the plan well. And, you know, some people are saved, but they never learn the plan, Brother Kincaid, and they're scared stiff, you know. You know, God has one plan of salvation. Here it is in Romans 8. Let's go back to it, okay? But watch it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Very simple. Christ died. He died, I mean, for sinners. You know, he took our place on the cross of Calvary. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he ascended unto heaven. And he's at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for sinners. And all we have to tell sinners is that Christ died for them. Amen?
Amen.
And that he was buried, but praise God, he rose again, and he's alive.
Amen? Amen.
And I'm so sad for our people. It really is heartbreaking. And your pastor, who was a missionary in Latin America, our people are very religious. My. You know, in our building, we don't have a cross anywhere. I mean, I remember when we were building those pews there, and the man said, man, I wouldn't charge you. I'll put a cross right at the end of the pew. I said, no, sir, thank you very much, you know. And I said, honestly, folks, and some of you people, you know, but honestly, it's sad. And your pastor, maybe some of you have been to Mexico City. Isn't it sad, you know, to have a Christ that is dead on a cross, you know. You know, we need to tell people that he's alive, you know, and we need to tell them that now that he's at the right hand of the Father, all they have to do is to call on him.
Amen.
Amen. Call him in to be, and ask him, and invite him in, and ask Christ to save them. It's so simple, you know. The plan, it's nothing hard, folks. I mean, I don't think it's all right, all these courses, you know. And my denomination that I came out in, that old, you know, established denomination, and bless their heart, they had so many courses you take, and blue seals and everything else, you have, and certificates, you know, and people never learn to knock on a door, you know, and go around and witness and tell,
Amen.
You know, and just tell the plan. Folks said, well, it's very simple. Learn the plan, folks. I mean, and so God has one plan of salvation, and there's no other plan. And I'm so glad that the plan that they gave my father, and I'll never forget. My father took me aside when I was 11 years old. That Brother Paul Seaman, man, he was a long-winded missionary pastor. He never got through at 12, you know, on Sundays, you know. And we all, by the way, we didn't have no fried missionary pastor for lunch and for dinner, you know, Sunday dinner. My parents never did criticize him. And he was long-winded. My father took advantage that one Sunday after church, and my mother was preparing the meal. It was late. And so he said, come over here, son. And I was Joe. And Joseph, and then there's Isaac and Abraham. And someone called us a bunch of Mexican Hebrews, you know. And he told Isaac and Abraham, you stay away, son. I said, I'm the oldest, and I have a sister. And then Isaac and Abraham. And I said, and told my sister, stay away. And I said, son, listen. And he told me the plan. And he's no theologian, and he's no seminary graduate, you know. He said, son, now, you heard how the Lord saved me, and I'm saved. But that doesn't make you a Christian, son. Now, you heard how your mother, being a nominal Catholic too, married me 6 months after marrying me, and she was saved. And she's a Christian. She said, but that doesn't make you a Christian, son. You see, son, Christ died for you, son. And he said, he died for you, and he was buried, and he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, son, if you ask him, if you call on him, he'll save you. Amen. But you're a sinner, son. You see, that's why you do. That's why you cheat and when you lie. That's why you do naughty things. I was 11 years old, and it's true I didn't understand many things of the Word of God, but I understood that. Man, the Spirit of God took that message, and for 3 weeks, man, a conviction was wrought by the Holy Spirit on my heart, and I could not sleep. I could not play well. I could not study well, you know. And the one Sunday morning when that missionary pastor gave the invitation, Brother Paul Seaman, and here, come down to the front, I can just hear some people. I wonder if that little boy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You ever heard that? Well, bless your heart, maybe some don't, but I did. You know? And the Lord saved me, and he kept me all through school, junior high school and high school, came World War II, and I volunteered to go in the Navy in 1944, and the Lord kept me there in 1944, 1945, and 46, you know. Oh, yes. I'll tell you one thing. Listen to me, folks. That plan, that's what my father, someone gave him the plan, you know. And he told me he learned it well. And so, isn't it wonderful? I'll stand up Sunday morning. I will teach the Word of God, and then we'll preach to them, and we'll tell them the plan. You see, God has one plan. It hasn't changed. Folks. I mean, it hasn't changed. I don't care what the world has changed, and I don't care if denominations change and religions change. My goodness, I was reading the other day, you know, for the Methodist denomination, they finally admitted some homosexual to be one of the pastors and ministers, you know. Well, ain't that something? That poor, when they, you know, that's what happens when you allow apostates to stay in within a group, you know.
Amen.
That's right. And now they're going to the dogs completely. Isn't that sad? You know. But listen to me. But isn't it wonderful? There's only one plan. Only one plan. So simple. My goodness, a child can understand it. I don't care what it is. My, what a thrill to teach the children, you know, what they're teaching. And we have about 300 of them every Sunday morning, besides the adults, you know. And it's so wonderful to teach them the plan. Amen. God's plan of salvation. My. Through songs and the spoken word to teach them the plan. They never heard it. My, it's new to them. I mean, some of them been sending them to confirmation make the first communion. And bless their heart, when the first communion is over, then they can come back with us, you know. Isn't that sad? They make them twice the child of the Satan, you know. That's what rotten religion and false religion will do, you know. Poor, isn't it sad, folks? Now we put the emphasis in the cathedrals and the stained windows, you know, and the stained glass. And boy, my goodness, some churches spend so much, you know, for the building being so high, you know. So they can feel the presence of God. Well, no one ain't going to feel the presence of God until they know the plan.
Amen. Amen.
Until they hurt the plan. So God has one plan of salvation, and God has one plan in getting out the plan. That's through his children. Amen. Through us, he's saved.
Amen.
My, talk is so simple, you know. And you know, I'm amazed, you know. I didn't come to know your pastor here, Brother Kincaid, though, many years after being here, but we were in San Antonio 7 years before we had a church building. We didn't have a church. We met in the living room in the dilapidated garage in the open air during the summer. Man, beautiful auditorium, stars, you know, carpet grass, you know. That's right. And we didn't have a building, you know. And I thought, you know, and it's so simple. And we want people in this business. If we don't have this, and we don't have that, that's a lot of baloney.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you, folk. God never did tell you to raise up a nice building. There's nothing wrong with buildings. But isn't this something? I'm always amused, you know. And when I read the Book of Acts, when I ever get discouraged, Brother Kincaid, I go to the Book of Acts.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing. I said, those people, and that piano, you know, and everything else they have, nice things we have nowadays. And yet those people, man, they were scattered, and everywhere they went, they told the plan, brother.
Amen.
Everywhere. Everywhere. And folks, now we need to get back to that.
That's right.
I mean, every believer. Where? Tell the plan where you work at. Amen? Amen. Tell the plan there where you live, there to your neighbor, next door neighbor, over the fence, you know? I mean, go across, please. I mean, go across. Oh my. Folk, let me tell you something. Tell the plan. Man, God has no other way to tell the plan. I'll tell you one thing, folks. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a Christian, a believer, that saved by the grace of God and gives $1,000 to missions and won't even cross the street to witness to his neighbor and tell the plan. No, no. Now, it won't take the place, folks. I'm sorry. It won't take the place.
Amen.
Now, it's wonderful. God can use your money and he blesses you for giving and sharing to send these missionaries to Indonesia and help us, the ones that were here, missionaries here in the United States, you know. And but God, it won't take the place of telling the plan.
That's right.
Oh, my. God help us, you know. And so, I don't know. No wonder, man. No wonder I don't get discouraged. I mean, it's so wonderful. Tomorrow, we'll dedicate the whole day. Go tell them the plan. We'll just start in the morning at 10 o'clock, you know, and we'll knock on doors. And I don't know, we'll knock on doors to maybe 8, 9 o'clock and that, you know, just go everywhere. Except where? There's so many folks. I mean,
amen.
I hope we're not like the colored preachers. And my goodness, they said that this congregation was after him. Said, and so he woke up having a nightmare and he said, they're after me. And the wife said, who? He said, man, he said, the woods are full of them. I mean, those colored folks, I mean, they're after me. And folks, I mean, the woods are full of them.
Amen.
People are lost and all that. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't care who they are, this world, this poor benighted, this blind, the benighted souls, man, they've tried everything. Amen. I mean, we have everything here, especially in the United States. We have the whole world. I mean, we have more than ever. Materially speaking, people are disillusioned. They're disappointed. Amen. Hey, tell them the plan. Said, well, sometimes they won't respond. Go, keep on telling the plan.
Amen.
I mean, that's the orders. I mean, you tell the plan. That's all. I mean, just be faithful in telling the plan, folks. That's what I try to do. Just keep faithful in telling the plan. And tell my people and encourage them to tell the plan. And remind them, must tell the plan.
Amen.
Every week. I mean, you must tell the plan. God's plan of salvation to someone, you know. I mean, I don't care who it is, you know. I mean, you pray. You ask God. I mean, there's so many. I mean, just tell the plan. And God has one way of getting out and telling this plan. This plan of salvation is through his believers and through his churches. Amen.
Amen.
Send the missionaries out. Amen. Indonesia. Amen. Guatemala. Mexico. Japan. Amen. Oh, yes. And by the way, folks, let me say this. There's plenty of money. Don't you tell me there's
amen,
plenty of money.
Bro.
There's plenty of money for what we want to have money. And it takes money. And we need to know the urgency of getting this plan out. Amen?
Amen.
The hour is late, folks. I mean, I'm not a pessimist. You know what a pessimist is? A guy is looking at the hole in the donut instead of the donut, you know. But I'm not a pessimist. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. But things are bad. I mean, they're bad. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. And you need to feel the urgency of getting out the plan.
Amen.
Oh, God help us. I thank God for your pastor, man. What he's done recently. And then the Latin American and newspaper and everything. Just get the plan out. That's
amen.
All.
Amen.
Oh, folk, let me tell you something. I mean, it takes money. Oh, and we Christians, honestly, when we come to, it takes money to get the plan out. And how can they preach unless they be sent? It takes money. It takes money to get our brother here to Indonesia.
Amen.
Plenty of money. And he needs equipment and other men that are here, that are missionaries. It takes money. And don't you tell, mama, this world has, we have plenty of money for what? And folk, I don't know about you, but listen, let me tell you, someone just, I don't know how true it is, but I'm not trying to scare you. If you're not already scared, you ought to be. But let me say this. Someone said, man, if our world inflation goes on, man, all that money you have stacked in the bank, it won't be worth more than potato chips.
That's right.
It'd be better if you had potato chips in the bank. At least you can eat that.
Amen.
You can't eat those green things, you know.
That's right.
Honestly, folks, God has given me a lot of money, Brother Kincaid, but it didn't stay with me.
Amen, brother. Yes, that's right.
I like what Brother Robertson was over here from Chattanooga the other day with Brother. I heard him, man, they try to raise his salary. He said, man, as long as there's missionaries to send out and, you know, and buildings to build here to train missionaries, man, what I want another raise for? When they tried to give him a Cadillac one time, he said, he told the deacon, said, take the keys, give him a Chevrolet, that's good enough for me. Oh, folks, let me tell you something, folks. You need to feel urgency. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, all over this world, all that God would burden us for this poor world, I mean all over, that God would give us the burden that A.B. Simpson had, that great missionary statement of the past that I told you about last time. Someone went to visit Brother Kincaid, and they thought he was talking to someone in his study there, and he wasn't. He was praying, and he had a globe. He had one of those world globes and holding it up, and he had his hand and prayed for the millions there in China. And with tears just running, and he said, oh, God, there in China, there's millions that don't know the difference between the right hand and their left hand, spiritually speaking. Oh, God, save many.
Amen.
And then he put his hand in the other country and prayed for the people there. What to God that he give us that kind of a burden.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, pray for the missionaries. Pray for us. Wonderful. Yeah, but listen, pray for the people in those countries.
Amen.
Oh, if you would be in there, I wish you would be there. Your pastor's been there. I mean, others here maybe been there, but I wish you would be in their place. Listen, I heard just recently someone came back, some TV star or something I just overheard, or movies, I don't know what it was, but he came, some big man. He said, man, as soon as he came back to the United States, he thanked God for being back in this country. You go out of this country and where the word of God is not as plentiful, you know, amen?
Amen.
And where that country was not based on principles of the word of God. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. Listen, folks. Listen. What this world needs is right here. This. I was in Mexico just this past summer. You know what I mean? I was just there just a couple of days, brother. I had to go on some, with one of our converts there, to witness to someone. And as he wanted to bring a vehicle that he wanted to use for the Lord's work that was over there. And all again, even with the little progress the Mexicans make, I told my wife and other one, what Mexico needs is the gospel.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, listen, one plan to get out the plan. And it's not going to get out. My goodness, people spend for basketball, pro basketball and football, the thousand, 50,000. It don't make any difference what it costs, What does it cost? $7, $12 a ticket. And we give what do we give God for missions? Brother Joe West here, brother Dale was, you know, when he was over there, I'll never forget, man. I mean, it's happened to me too, you know. Bless your heart. You know what? Our concept of missions, you've heard it before. We get the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They said Brother Joe West one time for his brother when he was in Mexico. So one lady said, and he told me, he was telling me, he sent a whole box of used tea bags.
Yeah.
And left-handed, and left foot, just the left foot, tennis shoes, brand new. I don't know what happened to the right. He said, I don't know, brother. See this? He was telling me years ago this happened. I don't know what happened to the right. That's true. What happens when we're going to give a missionary a car? Just give him that old car, you know. The transmission's about to fall out, you know. Just give it to the missionary. You know? All right, listen to me. No, there's plenty of money to get the plan out.
Right.
You know, among God's people, there's plenty of money.
Amen.
What we need to do is surrender completely, you know. Oh, whether it's much or little that you have. I mean, it's all at the Lord's disposal.
Amen.
To get the plan out. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, God help us. And then one plan of salvation, one plan again out the plan, and I like this. And then John 12:24. Unless a grain of wheat is put in the ground and die, it abides alone. Did you know that at the end of this life, there's many, many churches that are going to abide alone, brother?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, listen. I get concerned. You know, brother Kincaid, we fundamental, you know, Bible believers, it didn't used to be this way, but now we prosper, brother, man. I remember Brother Howell says that we remember when we used to start in an old store, you know, in a grocery store, like brother Joe West started, you know, and all that. But now, man, we've got carpet, we've got
everything. Amen.
Right. But you know what? But when it comes to mission, some of them are just giving a token, they're not really giving.
Amen.
I know that you could have maybe twice as better the facilities you have here. If you get a lot of the money. You know, this business of giving, you know, we need, unless the church, you know, dies to self. Amen?
Amen.
It abides alone.
Amen.
Man, isn't it wonderful? Man, what your pastor shared with me is great. I think what you've done and the small group you have and how you've increased and given the missions to get the plan out, isn't it wonderful? Let me tell you something. You'll never buy it alone. Amen. I feel sorry for the churches. You know, I know churches, they spend on themselves, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars. They buy equipment they don't even use, Brother Kincaid.
That's right.
And they buy buses they don't even use. Just because everybody's getting buses, they get buses to you. Brand new vans, $10,000. I mean, and what do they give to missions? Oh man, it's just a token, folks. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Beautiful auditorium, big old auditoriums. I mean, and they're empty, half empty too. Now, folks, any church that doesn't die, itself doesn't put others first, will abide alone after a while. There's some families going to abide alone. And I know in one case, when the daughter surrendered to the mission field, the mother, no. She had other plans for her daughter. She didn't want to go to the mission field. You'll see now how that mother wished that she had given up her daughter's sick now and an invalid, you know. And it is a punishment of the Lord, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. I tell you, that woman, that daughter passed away, and that woman is alone now. So I'm finally going to buy that alone. No, what do we want for our children? Man, no, Lord, just don't call me. Man, I want him. You choose this field, son. There's a lot of money in this field. Would to God that God call all my children.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yes. They stood by my side many, many years. They was in marriage until she was 26. Give many of years to the Lord. Listen to me. Listen to me, folks. Unless a grain of wheat is put in the ground and died, and abide us alone. What would have happened if I, many years ago, over 30 years ago, when the Lord called me, I had my plans. I wanted to be an electrical engineer. I was already on my way. I was an electronics technician in the Navy. Yes, that's Navy World War II. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to Texas University and get my degree in electrical engineering. But I'm so glad, you know. I died to my plans, and I died to myself, you know. And I'm glad. Yes. I mean, I was just rejoicing. I said, Lord, just if you tarry, just give me 30 more years. If you tarry, just give me 30 more years. This, how many people would have been saved if you would have done God's will? If I would have done God's will, amen. Die to self, folks. I mean, we need lot of people are going to abide alone. I feel sorry for people that just live, Brother Kincaid, for the material things of this world. I mean, to me, it's so. They're so vain. Amen?
Amen.
Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. My soul. I mean, so why? I mean, there's nothing wrong in enjoying the good things that God blesses with them, but don't live for those things. Don't work for those things. Amen. Amen. I mean, if God gives them to you, enjoy them. Wonderful. But my, for people that just work for a house, for people that just have a job, for the things that to acquire material things, how sad, how sad. Unless a grain of wheat is put in the ground and died, it abides alone.
Amen.
I think that the most miserable people on the face of the earth, Brother Kincaid, are Christians that are selfish. They live for self.
Amen.
Self-centered. Listen to me. Listen to me, folks. You listen to me. The core of our trouble, and if you go to the scriptures, you'll find it everywhere. That elder brother of the prodigal son, he was unhappy because when the father said, son, why don't you rejoice? Your son was dead and he's alive. He was lost and now he's saved. He said, I've been here with you, serving you all these many years. You know that all that I have is yours. What was his trouble? Selfishness.
Amen.
And I say, and that's the core of our, that's why the plan can't get out. Selfishness. Oh, God help us.
Amen.
May you surrender. So glad to hear other ones. And like your pastor told me that they're on the phone when he reminded me of this conference. Yeah, the ones that have gone out from here. How unselfish you've been to give up those. Yeah. And how unselfish are the ones that have been here to go where the Lord's called them to go. Amen.
Amen.
And I hope and pray that we'll always remember this. There's no fulfillment in the Christian life unless you learn to die to self.
Amen.
One plan again, not the plan. That's through his children, through his churches. And then one way of having victory over self, dying to self. Amen? Personal victory. You'll never have personal victory. I don't care how much Bible you have up here. I don't care how much Bible you know.
That's right.
Unless you die to self, you'll never have personal victory. God help us. Let us pray.